Diese Folge wird präsentiert von Komoot, der App, mit der du Abenteuer finden, planen und teilen kannst. Lass dich von den Empfehlungen und dem Insiderwissen der Outdoor-Community inspirieren und plane dein eigenes Abenteuer mit dem einfachen Routenplaner. Mit Details wie Höhenprofil, Wegbeschaffenheit und Dauer deiner Tour gibt dir Komoot die Sicherheit und das Selbstvertrauen, die Natur selbstständig zu erkunden. Das Team von Komoot vereint die Leidenschaft fürs Entdecken und möchte diese an andere weitergeben. Daher ist es die Mission von Komoot, einzigartige Abenteuer für alle zu ermöglichen. Du kannst die Offline-Karten auch gratis testen, und zwar unter komoot.de/g mit dem Gutscheincode OUTDOOR21. Den Link findest du auch in unseren Shownotes. Und jetzt aber erstmal ganz viel Spaß mit dem Podcast.
Hauptsache raus, der Outdoor-Podcast.
Hallo zusammen und herzlich willkommen bei einer neuen Folge von Hauptsache raus, dem Podcast des Outdoor-Magazins. Ich heiße Katharina Hübner, bin Redakteurin hier und moderiere auch heute wieder die Sendung, in der wir ein, wie ich finde, besonders spannendes Thema haben. Und zwar kennen vielleicht einige von euch die Filmtour EOFT, die European Outdoor Film Tour, und waren da auch bei den letzten Filmen anwesend oder haben sich online was angeschaut. Und dann sagt euch bestimmt der Name Elliot Schoenfeld etwas. Elliot ist ein junger Franzose und er war so das Gesicht der letzten EOFT. Mit seinem Film Le Minimalist, da ist er minimalistisch ausgerüstet durch Nepal gewandert, teilweise auch mit einem Pferd. Und auch bei der EOFT, die jetzt wieder beginnt, nach der Corona-Zwangspause, ist Elliot wieder dabei. Und zwar mit einem Film, der ein ganz anderes Thema hat. Was heißt ein ganz anderes Thema? Es geht auch ums Thema Expedition, aber diesmal in Südamerika, in Guyana, da ist er 2 Monate lang durch den Dschungel, ja, gewandert, gar nicht so sehr viel, sondern mehr mit dem Boot war er da unterwegs. Und um dieses Abenteuer wird es in der heutigen Folge gehen. Wie ihr euch jetzt schon denken könnt, ist Elliot auch da dabei, er ist mir zugeschaltet. Und Elliot ist ja Franzose, deswegen führen wir das Gespräch auf Englisch. So, und jetzt aber I switch to English. Hi Elliot, thanks for joining us here.
Hello Katharina, thank you.
So, about your adventure in Guyana. I read a bit about it, that you were actually following in the footsteps of a French adventurer who went there in 1949, right?
Yeah, that's how it started. So I was in Paris at this time. It was 2 years or 3 years ago during the summer, and had a rendezvous. I don't know, a meeting with a dentist, and I was very early. So I just walk around in the streets, and I enter this library. And I don't know why, but my eyes were attracted by these names while walking in the library. And I grabbed this book, and this book was called Guyana Adventure. And it was written by a man named Raymond Moffret. And I started to read the book, and actually I wrote it from the first word till the last. And I sat down in the library. I completely forgot about my meeting with the dentist. And and I closed the book maybe after 1 or 2 hours. And I walked out from the library. And I had decided to go in Amazonia. And 3 weeks after this, I was going to Amazonia trying to find this guy who had wrote this book. And this book is it's like a diary about this young guy. He was 23, if I recall, when he left in 1949. And his dream was to cross all the Amazonia and try to reach a region called Tumucumac. And it was some legendary mountain who were in the middle of the Amazonia jungle. And the legend was saying that there was an unknown tribe that were living over there. And the rumor was saying that they were very tall people with blue eyes. And his dream was to find them and to learn how to live like them and to learn back how to live in the jungle go back living in the nature and live the civilization. That was his goal and his dream, and that's what he did. And unfortunately, Remo Mofre never came back from the jungle, and he disappeared in 1950, and we never hear from him again. And the only thing we found from him was this book, this diary in which he was writing every day what was happening to him. And at the end of the diary, you can leave like the last entry he's writing in it. He says that he's very weak at this point, and he's having a lot of trouble hunting and eating and just walking, and he is in a very terrible shape. And he decided to leave all his stuff, including this diary, and try to swim till the next village, which was at a couple of hundreds of kilometers by the river he was planning to swim. And no one knows exactly what happened to him, but someone can imagine what happened. So that's how this legend of Remo Mofre was born. And his father, whose name is Edgar Mofre, after learning that his son has disappeared, tried to look for him for around 20 years, sorry. And he was just a small worker in the south of France in a town called Toulon, and he became one of the greatest Amazonian explorer because he tried to find his son for so many years everywhere in the jungle he could go, and never found him. But that's
never
what
found
makes this,
him. Okay.
Yeah, that's what makes this story very crazy.
Yeah, it sounds great. I'll just briefly summarize it in German. So genau, also Elliot hatte damals in Paris einen Zahnarzttermin, hatte aber noch viel Zeit, ging in die Bücherei und da, wie es der Zufall wollte, fiel ihm dieses Buch, ein Buch in die Hände von Remo Mofre, was das Tagebuch von diesem jungen Abenteurer war, der damals halt durch Guyana reisen wollte, um einen sagenumwobenen Stamm zu finden, der witzigerweise auch noch, wo die Menschen blaue Augen haben sollten, relativ groß und leben wie in der Steinzeit. Und die hat der Raymond aber nie getroffen, beziehungsweise man weiß es nicht, also er ist nie zurückgekommen, wurde aber, wie Elliot gerade sagte, 12 oder sogar 20 Jahre von seinem Vater gesucht. Es gibt darüber Bücher und das hat er jetzt so fasziniert. Da muss ich jetzt nochmal nachfragen. Ich glaube, dass er gerade gesagt hat, er war 3 Wochen später schon vor Ort. Elliot, did I get that right, that 3 weeks after reading this book, you already traveled to Guyana?
Yeah, that's what I did.
that's quite quick, actually.
Yeah, it's really quick. Maybe it was too quick, but because I was missing a lot of information about the jungle, and the only stuff I knew was from this book. But when I wrote this book, I had this, I felt very, very close from this person, Remo Mofre, like he was my best friend or brother. And in my mind, I had to go look for him and try to save him. And I don't know, I think it was a bit crazy. This expedition was a bit crazy. Well, the start of it was a bit crazy. I just had the urge to go in the jungle and try to live, try to see what he have seen, try to, experience what he have experienced, to get closer to him, and to try to find him in the jungle. And I knew it was crazy, but a very tiny part of me wanted to believe in it, so I just went there and did the exact same itinerary than he did. And so I crossed the first river, which is called the Waki River, and then I hiked in the jungle for 10 days. And after this walk, I arrived to the place where we discover his diary. And from there, I built myself a raft, which he also tried to do, but he never really succeed. And I navigate on the river for 2 weeks. And after 46 days of the expedition, after 46 days being alone in the jungle, I met the first men of the trip, which were Indian from the tribe Teco, and and I lived with them for a week in the jungle, and then they took me back to their village, and so that's how the expedition ended. But yeah, 3 weeks was a very small time to get prepared for such an expedition, and I realized it when I was in the jungle, because I had a lot of problem, and I was very scared at some points too. So yeah, it was a very beautiful and very hard expedition.
Ja, I can imagine. Was Elliot gerade sagte, ist, also tatsächlich hat er sich nur 3 Wochen vorbereitet, eigentlich auch nur mit diesem Buch. Und das ist ungewöhnlich, denn gerade er sollte es eigentlich besser, hätte es besser wissen können, denn er hat ja schon einige andere lange Reisen hinter sich gebracht. Und er fühlte sich aber so ein bisschen diesem Raymond Maufray so verbunden, dass er einfach dachte, er muss los. Und Elliot, so, but before you left, did some people try to convince you not to rush like that, like your parents or your girlfriend? Or
yeah, everybody tried to convince me not to go when I'm going to expedition, even if I mean to Amazonia, but also to Alaska, also to Himalaya, all the expedition.
Okay,
I mean, there's a lot of people who tell me not to go. I understand why they say this, but it never made me stop my project, what I had in mind. So actually, I was really dreaming to go to Amazonia, to the jungle, for a few years now, and I've been doing this. Going to very wild place on earth for since I'm 19 years old, so I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I think I was starting to feel more and more ready to go to Amazonia, so I was actually planning this in my head, and then I found this book, and it just got very there very more quickly than I expected to be. But and I don't think no one could have tell me anything that could have stopped me to go there. And actually, in his book, Raymond Maufray talks about this a lot at the beginning, that everybody is telling him that he shouldn't go there, that he will die, and it's crazy, and it will be hell. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about this a lot, like people don't understand why he has to go there, and that he really... he wants to go back in the jungle, go back to the nature, and try to learn how to live in these places. And actually, those people probably were right, because he probably died in the jungle. But his dream was bigger than everything else. So that's why he went anyway.
Mm-hmm. But you normally, when you go on other expeditions, you, as from what I read, you are also more thorough in terms of preparation, right? Or do you always leave like this?
Yeah, not so. I don't think I'm known for my preparation, and which is pretty it's pretty bad most of the time. But the difference in this expedition is I couldn't make any mistake, because during the all the expedition I was alone, and in the other expedition I could be alone for like 2 or 3 weeks, like in Alaska I was alone for 21 days, but at some point I could cross a village or cross some people, and you know, so it wasn't the same atmospheres, and being myself for all the duration of the expedition in the jungle. And I always carry with me a satellite phone to be able to mm-hmm. call emergency if needed. And I never had to use it. But for the first time in the jungle, I couldn't use it because there was no service because I was under the tree. So it was quite, it was even more real than the other expedition because I had no plan B. It was only succeeding the expedition or you know, dying because no one mm-hmm. was going to get me there because there was no one. So yeah, that was a very, that's why this expedition was kind of unique and and needed more actually preparation than all the other I've done. My preparation actually is done during the expedition, like when I meet, usually when I meet people, I try to ask them, like in Alaska, I met some people living in the wild, and I asked them how to be with grizzly bears and black bears, and how to behave myself to be safe. And you know, so what I do usually is ask people who live to those places how to prepare the expedition. But in this one, I couldn't because I met no one except at the very beginning before leaving and at the end where I learned a lot.
Ja, also Elliot sagte gerade noch, normalerweise, wenn er unterwegs ist auf seinen Reisen, dann lernt er viel von den Einheimischen, die er hier und da trifft. Zum Beispiel in Alaska hat er mit den Leuten dort darüber gesprochen, wie man sich gegenüber Grizzlies verhält. Und hier im Dschungel, da hat er aber im Prinzip niemanden getroffen, oder so gut wie niemanden, einmal Einheimische. Und das Satellitentelefon hat auch oft nicht funktioniert, weil einfach unter diesem dichten Blätterdach der Empfang so schlecht war. Und somit war er wirklich allein und er konnte entweder weitergehen oder er wäre gestorben, wenn er halt sich nicht weiter bewegt hätte. Elliot, you were also saying that this one was, sometimes... It was very beautiful, but also very tough, you said. And I think that's a nice way of putting it, very tough. I mean, actually, you were in serious danger, weren't you? Didn't you actually do something like a goodbye video for your parents because you thought you were actually going to die?
Yeah, that's what happened. like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and that's the only time... I really got scared for my life. That's the only one trip that I really actually got scared for me. It never happened before, and this was due to the what I said earlier. I was really by myself, and I couldn't rest on anyone and anything happening. Only myself could make me go through this, and at some point I felt very weak because I didn't took enough food with me, and it was much more difficult to fish than I expected to be, and and actually the jungle is it's such an amazing place, but this place needs, I mean, I was lacking of knowledge about this place, you know. And I couldn't see, I couldn't smell, I couldn't hear. I was just a small civilized man in the middle of the jungle, and I wasn't ready for this because my goal during my expedition is to try to live in the place, in the wildest place, and try to adapt myself to those places. And in this expedition, I only managed to survive and never leave, you know? I don't know if it makes sense. And so at some point, I got very weak and my body completely shut down. And that was when I was walking inside of the jungle. I got very, very weak, and I had this really strong pain in my back. And it lasts for hours and hours, and I didn't know what to do. And I tried to use my satellite phone, and it was not working. And yeah, I saw myself like when you're in the middle of the jungle by yourself and you're feeling the way I was feeling, you say to yourself, well, it's not what's happening is not good, and if it's not stopping, I will die here, and I will end up like the brother I've been following for all those weeks in the jungle, Remo Moffé. And yes, mm-hmm. So I took my camera and I made a video for my parents, for my girlfriend, for my close one, and I don't know how it happened. I don't know what I had, but after maybe 5 or 6 hours of real agony, the pain started to go a bit down, and I was able to sleep. And then when I woke mm-hmm. up the next morning, the pain had completely gone. And so I don't know what happened to me, but maybe my body shut down just as a just to warn me, you know, like the next time it will be like a very serious thing, just to warn me, or maybe just couldn't take it anymore, and he had to rest for a very long time. I don't know what happened, but after this, I just I had this very huge desire of living and you know, finish this expedition, go through it, and finish these dreams that I was sharing with Remo Moffré, and try to, you know, to go to the end of it, and try to learn after this experience, try to learn how to, you know, live in the jungle, really try to live with the Indians living there even today. And, you know, be able to live in the jungle and not only survive in the jungle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, also was Elliot da gerade noch sagte, ist, dass er bei seinen Expeditionen eigentlich immer versucht, in ganz wilden Gegenden wirklich zu leben. Und im Dschungel ist ihm das aber nicht gelungen, sich da gut genug anzupassen. Er hat überlebt, aber er meinte, er hätte nicht sich der dortigen Natur so angepasst, dass das wirklich Leben wäre. Und er ist dann auch sehr krank geworden und ja, so krank, dass er tatsächlich dachte, er stirbt, und hat ein Video gedreht für seine Eltern und eins für seine Freundinnen und für Freunde und dachte auch, naja, vielleicht passiert ihm hier jetzt einfach das Gleiche wie seinem Bruder im Geiste, dem Raymond Moffré. Und dann, wie durch ein Wunder, verschwanden aber die Schmerzen, und er fragte sich, ob das jetzt vielleicht auch nur ein Zeichen war, also nach dem Motto, nächstes Mal gehst du wirklich hops. Und der Lebenswille war dann ganz stark wieder da. So Elliot, when you sort of recovered or after sleeping and when the pain was gone, what did you actually do first? Like eat a lot to gain strength again, or?
Yeah, well, my dream was to eat a lot, but unfortunately I couldn't, because I had very small food in my bag. Like I think I lost around 15 kilos during this expedition in 46 days, and I was eating around 100 grams of rice or noodles per day. So I was only eating during in the evening. And so after recovering, my goal was to walk the fastest I could, to go I had this willing to live very strongly inside of me. So my goal was to reach the river and try to reach the place where we found the diary of Remo Moffré. Mm-hmm. And I was around 5 days from this place. So I was... I had 5 days of walking in front of me. So I tried to walk as fast as I could, but also I was listening to my body. So if I had to stop after 3 hours and put my hammock and sleep, I was doing this. But it took me 5 days to reach the river. And my goal was to try to fish, you know, try to catch some fish in the river and be able to eat a bit better. And especially like reaching this place, this river was the last part of the expedition, you know, like from this place, my goal was to build a raft and be able to go down the river and reach the village Remo Moffré tried to reach 70 years ago by swimming. So that was my hope. Like my hope was to, you know, to go back to my family The next morning I was very sick. My thought was to go back to my family as quickly as possible. But actually, when I was on my raft, that was maybe one of the most beautiful part of this expedition, because I saw so much wildlife. And after all these weeks in the jungle, I started to understand how to progress, you know, how to move, how to, you know, how to keep moving. The jungle actually taught me that. I never was able to fish a lot or to be able to find my food by myself, the whole expedition. But this, I understand how to progress. And for the first time too, I was, you know, the current of the river was on my side, because at the beginning I was going against the current. In the first river, I was going up the river, and at the end I was going down the river. So it was a very amazing moment, those 2 weeks on my raft. And it was a weird feeling. Like I in one hand, I wanted to live forever in the jungle and try to get better at fishing and, you know, try to live there. And on the second hand, I was very, very hungry. And every night, it was very difficult to fall asleep, because I was just dreaming about food. And so that was the main problem at this time. Food was the main problem. But I wasn't scared anymore. Like during the day, I was the happiest man on earth, being in this amazing jungle. And during the night, I was very, very, very hungry. And so it was kind of weird experience.
So the happiest man on earth during the daytime and the hungriest man on earth during nighttime.
Yeah. Okay. Like my days were happier than my dreams at this point, because during the night I was very unhappy, and during the days I was very, very happy.
So maybe there was even, I wonder what the word is in English. In German, we call it Fastenhai, because like when you get so little energy and your body kind of thinks you might be starving, that it can also produce some sort of happiness. But I'm not very firm in these things. I was just reminded of that.
What I know is during the day, you know, I was on my raft and moving, and I was seeing all these crazy, amazing things around me. You know, I was seeing animals every 50 meters. And so, you know, your mind kind of forget about your hunger and the fact that you're hungry. And yeah, I was really forgetting about it. And I was moving, you know, so but during the night, you cannot see anything. You are alone in your hammock, and you know, you have to think, you know, you only can think about yourself and what's going on in your mind. So that was the problem, and that's the moment where I was crazy about food. But
what I have not understood earlier, when did you said you were living with natives, or staying with natives for a week? Was that after this hunger episode, or before, or
it was both? I stayed 2 or 3 days with Indian from the tribes Wayana. It was at the west of Guyana where I started, and I went to this village to be able to find someone to take me to the beginning of the expedition, to the river where I was starting. And also I bought my boat in this village. So I stayed there for I think 3 or 4 days with the Wayana people, and at the end I stayed maybe 10 days with the Indians from the tribe Teko. And I actually learned a lot at the end with this Teko people, because I saw them fishing, I saw them hunting, I saw them, you know, how living in the jungle and you know, seeing through the forest and understanding where, if there was this fruit, it means there was this kind of animal, and this fruit could be used for fishing, and you know, these plants were good to eat, and you know, so they teach me a lot of things, and it was kind of amazing to see those people be able to live so easily in the jungle where I was struggling a good part of my own expedition. And that's why I understand that it was not the jungle that was dangerous, you know. It's not the jungle that is hostile or, you know, with danger. What is dangerous is my ignorance, you know, the mm-hmm. fact that I didn't know how to live in this place, and I was lacking of a lot of information and knowledge. And being with those people actually taught me that what I have to do now is to you know, get this knowledge and learn and be able, you know, to understand even more how the jungles is. It is not dangerous by itself. You know what makes it dangerous, and that crazy people like me and Raymond Moffret go there without knowing anything, and the problem is our dreams were bigger than the reality, and that's why it ended very badly for him, and that's why it almost got bad for me as well. But that's that's the lesson I learned in the jungle.
Okay. Ja, wie Elliot gerade sagte, er hat dann doch die Lektion gelernt. Er war einfach nicht gut genug für den Dschungel oder nicht angepasst, was wir vorhin auch schon sagten. Und er hat dann aber zum Schluss sehr viel von Einheimischen gelernt, von den Teko. And Elliot, what I just wondered, so was this the tribe that Raymond Moffret wanted to get to? And so, actually, did you reach your goal with this expedition? Or his goal?
Yeah, my goal was to reach the village he tried to reach by himself swimming, and this mm-hmm. village was still in Guyana, and it was at the frontier of Brazil, but it mm-hmm. was still in Guyana, and the place he wanted to reach was actually so much further than this place. It was like maybe hundreds and hundreds of kilometers after this, and no one ever discovered these tribes. A lot of people discovered some trace, some signs mm-hmm. of people living around this place, but no one actually met these tribes. So we don't really know what's happening. And his father, who actually looked for them for so long, because he thought maybe his son was living with them, he tried to look for them, and he never was able to actually find them. The tribes I met with at the end of the expedition is not the same that he wanted to meet. But what is crazy is it's this tribe who the crazy thing about this Raymond Moffret story is that we actually found his diary, you know, because it was mm-hmm. lost in the middle of the jungle. And by a miracle, an Indian who was going for hunting in the jungle accidentally found it. And what's crazy is that the Indians that rescued me at the end of the expedition were small children, like this man who found the diary.
Exactly.
There was a grandchildren of this man who found the diary 70 years ago. So yeah, that's the story.
Okay, so ja, yeah. Elliot ist dann im Endeffekt nicht bei diesem legendären, sagenumwobenen Stamm gelandet, von dem man aber auch bis heute noch gar nicht weiß, ob es ihn gibt. Aber wie er sagt, und da schließt sich ja auch sozusagen ein Kreis, dieser Stamm, von dem er dann sozusagen zum Schluss gerettet wurde, das waren die gleichen Leute wie diejenigen, die das Tagebuch vom verschollenen Raymond Moffret gefunden haben. Also nicht die gleichen Leute, aber das gleiche, die Leute aus dem Dorf und sozusagen die Enkelkinder von den Indianern, ich sollte nicht Indianer sagen, meine Güte, von den Einheimischen, von den Natives, die eben dieses Tagebuch damals fanden. So, Elliot, so, it sort of feels like you reached a goal then. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of, or, I mean, my goal was to try to reach the place that would have saved him. But like his original goal was much bigger than what I did. And
I see.
Yeah, it was like maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months more, maybe more, you know. But it was a crazy dream of his, I didn't try to do this one. Maybe one day I will you know continue what I've started and do the other step, which is to cross almost all of Brazil, or a big part of Brazil in the jungle. But for the moment, I only try to reach the place where he could have been saved.
So you not only travel there, of course, you also filmed, right? I mean, of course, because there's going to be a film in the next European outdoor film tour. So did you actually learn somewhere how to film? I mean, this is not your first documentary.
This is my first movie. Like, my first movie was in Mongolia from my first expedition. The second one was in Alaska. The third one was in Himalaya. And the first one was in Amazonia. And before my first movie, I actually never really held any camera in my hand. And I really learned by doing it. So my first movie is a bit, there's a bit of amateur kind of movie, you know, because I was learning. But after each expedition, I was getting a bit better. And now I really enjoy doing it. So there's an anecdote that people will see in the movie if they watch it. But this movie almost never got done, because at some point my camera, which is waterproof but still, drowned, went under the river. It felt, and the water over there is brown, so I had maybe almost zero chance of finding it again. And finally I managed to find it. I was going crazy in the water, in the river, trying to dip at the bottom and try to touch everything I could in the river to find it. And actually I finally find it again, and I was able to, you know, to rescue all the shots and make the movie when I went back. But this movie almost never existed, because it almost got drowned in the Amazonian river. So I'm happy that it didn't happen.
Ja, was er gerade sagte, ist, also diesen Film hätte es fast, also erstmal, er hat sich tatsächlich das meiste selbst beigebracht und ist dabei wohl auch besser geworden beim Film, hat Spaß dran gefunden. Und diesen Film hätte es beinahe nicht gegeben, denn seine zwar wasserdichte Kamera fiel in den Fluss und braunes Wasser ist tief reingefallen. Er dachte, er findet sie nicht wieder und muss da wild rumgetaucht sein, hat alles Mögliche angefasst. Ich weiß nicht, ob da jetzt auch noch irgendwelche komischen Tiere dabei waren. Elliot, did you also touch some animals when you were looking for your camera in the water?
What's funny is when I actually find the camera back, I look at the image. When I was back in France, I look at the footage, and actually the camera, while it was in the water, got attacked by a crab. So I have footage of a very angry crab who's trying to fight my camera. But other than that, I didn't felt anything in the water. But I mean, I met with two anacondas, so the snake. During this trip, I met a lot, like a caiman, which is like kind of a crocodile, and all sort of fish and other animals. I saw a lot of animals, but at this point, I didn't touch any of them. If I did, I didn't realize it, because I was too much focused on finding my camera.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that was lucky that you got it back. What I was also wondering, what other people are probably also wondering about. So is this this traveling and doing expeditions, is that actually what you do for a living, and the films maybe, or I don't know if you also write about it, or do you also do what people yeah, do you also have what people call a proper job?
Yeah, I used to have a proper job. Like at the beginning, I was, you know, I had to work to find the money to go do my expedition, even though it's really not expensive because I'm going into place where, well, money doesn't mean anything, you know, in the grizzly bears don't care about money. So when I was in Alaska, sure. I didn't use me at all. What cost me money is to get there, you know, and to buy the all the equipment, like for the make the movie, the video equipment and stuff like this. So I had to, I was working as like waiter, and I was delivery people on my bicycle, you know, in Paris, delivering food to people, and all sorts of job like this to make some money. And since I think since 3 or 4 years now, I don't have to do a small job around, because as you said, I'm realizing a movie at each expedition, and I'm also writing books after each expedition. So this is my job, to be a writer and to be to make movies. This is what I'm doing now, full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. And yeah, I think I read somewhere that you tried studying, but you just couldn't stand it, right? Sitting there and reading too much theoretical things.
When I started to travel in White Place, I was 19 years old, and I just had some very, very intense and hardcore science school. So I was studying like science and physics and chemistry and engineering, and like 10 days an hour. And after 6 months, I gave up. Like I gave my resignation, as you said. And it was very hard, and I was very bad. My grades were very, very low. So I just stopped it. And I knew my sister traveled before going to university. So I decided to try this. You know, I was a bit lost, like a lot of young people at that age. You know, I didn't know what to do with my life. So I just did like my sister, and I went for traveling in Australia. And this is at this in Australia that I actually discovered what it means wild nature. And this was a really big shock for me, and this is where it all started, you know. And after this, after Australia, I went to Canada, to the extreme north of Canada, where I was working with snow dogs, as in a camp where, you know, people go to do a sledge. And I've lived there for 1 year, and after those 2 years of traveling and living in the wild, I told myself it's time to go back to real life, and to go back, take city and try to find a job, etc. And I was saying to myself that I had been happy enough like this in my life, and it was time to go back in the real world. And so I that's what I did. I went back to France, and I start a philosophy courses in the university. And only after a few days sitting on the bench of the university, this is when I decided to become an explorer, and to try to, you know, organize expedition in the wildest place on earth, and yeah, make movie and try to talk about those places to people, try to document those place, try to, you know, witness all the living creatures living there. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what I decided to do what I'm doing.
So that's your real life, you found out it's not right. So yeah, for you, the exactly. Real life is um das kurz zusammenzufassen, also Elliot ist viel gereist und hat es mit dem Studieren versucht und dachte sich auf seinen sehr langen Reisen so, danach muss es dann auch gut sein, dann gehe ich mal zum wirklichen Leben zurück und dann ich fasse das jetzt wirklich sehr kurz zusammen. Ich meine, ihr habt ja wahrscheinlich auch viel verstanden. Dann hat er halt rausgefunden, nee, das ist es für ihn nicht. Also studieren oder so und Stadtleben, sein Leben sind halt Expeditionen und Filme darüber und Bücher und genau. Und ja, Elliot, as you told me earlier, so you bought a little house in the mountains now to live there when you're not traveling. And that brings me to, well, let's call it the final question. Does your girlfriend ever go to the wilderness with you, or how does she manage, like, when you are gone for months and months? Is she just a cool person?
Yeah. She's a cool person, but she gets worried. She actually joined me for 10 days when I was in Himalayas. For 1 week she came, because she need, like, the traveling to get to where I was like... 2 days and two days to get there and 2 days to get back to a real city in Nepal. So she actually came to visit at this point, but in Amazonia it wasn't possible at all because, I mean, that couldn't be found anywhere. I don't think she appreciated it so much. My job is to make my, like, all the close person around me, to make them not worried as much as I can, you know, try to make them trust me and I try to give news anytime I can, you know, with my satellite phone. I try to call them every week, every 10 days, just to give them news that everything is okay. That's another job I have to do, because my goal is not to make people who I love and who love me worried, you know. That's really not what I want to do. So, but I think after all those years, they're starting to trust me, and maybe you cannot really see it in my movies, but I try to be very careful, because my job is not to get it done in danger. You know, my job is not to die. My job is to, it's all the opposite actually, is to live the fully, as much as I can in those place, you know, and because those place makes me the happiest man on earth, and I think it's the most beautiful place on earth. The wildest place, I think, is really the most beautiful place on earth. And my goal is to keep living, you know, in those place and keep going there, exploring those place and talking about it.
Also, um das kurz zusammenzufassen, Elliot sucht keine Risiken und er will gerne lange leben und alt werden und ist inzwischen wohl auch ganz gut da drin, seine engsten Freunde, seine Freundin, seine Eltern zu beruhigen oder zu überzeugen, dass er wiederkommt. Und I think, Elliot, we are getting to the end, and great. Thank you so much for joining us here. We'll, of course, thank send you. The links from... No worries. We'll put the link from your website, of course, in our show notes and from the European Outdoor Film Tour. Genau, ich kann okay. Bin hier verwirrt mit Deutsch und Englisch. Also ich möchte auf jeden Fall auch natürlich die EOFT empfehlen und gerade Elliots Film da drin zeigt wirklich, das sind großartige Bilder und es geht einem auch schon sehr nahe, weil man einfach sieht, dass er da wirklich kämpft und leidet und aber auch sich, ja, was er ja uns hier auch erzählt hat, dass ihm, wie gut es ihm auch gefallen hat, gleichzeitig im Dschungel bei aller Härte. Okay, Elliot, so good luck with everything you're gonna do in the near future. You mentioned Greenland, I think.
Yeah, that will be the next one.
Okay, so I'm sure
thank you so
we'll...
much.
Yeah, no worries. Good luck with everything.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Goodbye.
Bye. Genau. Und ansonsten muss ich hier natürlich wie immer sagen, wenn euch unser Podcast gefällt und ihr keine Episode mehr verpassen wollt, dann abonniert uns doch gerne gleich hier oder auch unseren Newsletter auf www.outdoor-magazin.com. Und ihr findet uns natürlich auch gedruckt am Kiosk, per Abo in euren Briefkästen und selbstverständlich auch bei Facebook und Instagram. Tschüss und bis zum nächsten Mal.
Hauptsache raus, der Outdoor-Podcast.